What you see is what you get.
Hello, my name is Pastor Chris Miller, and I am your host on the PC Speaking Podcast, where we are equipping Christians for life. Hello, and welcome back to our journey through the book of Jonah. Today, we come to the end of the story of Jonah. We will be taking some time next week to tie up some loose ends and talk about some more things that we can talk about from the book of Jonah. But today, we do come to the end of the story, and I'm looking forward to wrapping this series up, and I hope that you found it helpful. I know I certainly have. I see myself in the mirror a lot when I'm reading Jonah, but I've enjoyed doing this. I went through the book of Jonah several years ago. Well, it was probably, I'm guessing, maybe 15 years ago. And it was pretty terrible. Anyway, that happens. Hopefully you improve as you go. But yeah, I'll probably be looking back 15 years from now, looking at this going, good grief, what was I thinking? Anyway, stop messing around. Time to get to work. End of the book of Jonah. We were, we'll come back and talk about it some more next week. I was reading one of my commentaries this week and had some great stuff in it about the book of Jonah. Very helpful things that were good about fleshing out this chapter. And I look forward to sharing some of that with you today. And you may have heard of something called types and shadows in the Old Testament. And those are things in the Old Testament that are types of Christ, or they foreshadow Jesus in different ways. And those things were written before Jesus was born and before his earthly ministry. And they're often quite interesting when you start digging into those and looking at them. And Jesus actually refers to one of those. Jesus himself refers to Jonah in the belly of the great fish for 3 days. And it's probably easiest to explain it if I just read it to you. It's from Matthew chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 38 through, we'll read through 41. This is what it says. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "And an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and will condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here." So that's Jesus referring to himself, using Jonah as a typological metaphor to refer to his death, burial, and resurrection. And I know when we read things like that, it's easy for us to understand. But one of the things we need to remember is that for us, hindsight is 20/20. And Jesus saying that to those people at that time would have sounded very strange. And they probably would have thought, well, this guy's crazy or something. It would have been difficult for them to understand what he meant by that. In the final sentences of the book of Jonah, what is very special about this is that if we look for it, and we seek it out, there's a wonderful description of God's character in this final chapter of the book. And we can talk about part of that today. But then later in the New Testament, we see that same character in Jesus, which is also a beautiful representation of the doctrine of the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as three persons in one. And just the shared character of those three. And I think another thing we see in the chapter, chapter 4 of the book of Jonah, is, as we've seen throughout the book, is how we all have some Jonah in us and how we're working through that and dealing with it. And we will definitely see a bit more of that today. But let's read through our passage. We're going to read Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 through 11. Now, where to put my glasses on here. Starting in verse 5, you remember last week, Jonah had traveled into the city, he preached, the Ninevites repented. He was upset about that. He goes out of the city. And we pick up in chapter 4, verse 5, which says, so Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made for himself a booth there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to provide a shade over his head, to provide comfort from his grief. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God appointed a worm to attack the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah so that he became faint and asked that he might die. He said, is it better for me to die? He said, it is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And Jonah replied, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. The Lord said, you are troubled about the plant for which you did not labor and did not grow. It came up in a night and perished in a night. Should I not, therefore, be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? So, there we go. That is the end of the book of Jonah. And as we know well, Jonah's had quite a difficult time getting to this point. He's been through a lot. He's struggled a lot. He's been through many difficult things. His difficulties, unfortunately, haven't changed much about his attitude. Matter of fact, it's his attitude that generated a lot of his difficulties. His time in the storm, his time in the belly of the fish, certainly changed his willingness to be obedient, but they didn't change how he felt about the Ninevites. And today we see God speak with Jonah for the third time in this book, and he talks to Jonah about his attitude, and in doing so, reveals a lot about his own character. God's character is something that is, I guess you could say, it's understandable and incomprehensible at the same time, which sounds contradictory, and also seems how God's character is at times, how God can perfectly love people, be merciful. He can be gracious and also at the same time perfectly just in his judgments and wrath, and he can be and do all of those things all at the same time. So it's understandable, but it's hard to understand at the same time. And we can't do those things, which makes it more difficult for us to understand that. But at the same time, we know God is perfect. He is complete and he's unlimited. So he can be and do all those things without compromising his character. And Jonah has gone into the city of Nineveh and he has warned them of God's coming wrath. And the Ninevites, we know how terrible they are. We've talked about that a few times. And they've done horrific things to Jonah's people, to other nations as well. And when Jonah tells the Ninevites that God is going to destroy the city, which would include destroying them, in 40 days, they repent. They put on sackcloth and fast, even from drinking water. Not just fasting from food, they fast from drinking water, they put on sackcloth, and they take on a posture of genuine repentance. And that happens all the way from the king clear down to the livestock. And you would expect Jonah to be pleased at the great success of his mission. But for Jonah, that just wasn't the case. And he was very angry, and he was depressed that God was not going to destroy the Ninevites because that's what he wanted to happen. Jonah believed that the Ninevites deserved to be destroyed, and God, and he even told God that's the reason he ran away from him in the first place, is because he knew he was gracious and he knew that he probably wouldn't give the Ninevites what they deserved, and that's why he had run away and he regretted even being here, and he was afraid God was going to show them mercy. And you know, like every human has a tendency to do, Jonah was keenly aware of the faults of the Ninevites, but kind of ignored his own. And I'm sure, like most of us, he would probably said, you know, well, I'm not perfect. I'm just not as bad as them. And the thing that's missing in this conversation between Jonah and God, and I think that's also part of the reason that Jonah is feeling so depressed and angry and is so down, is because he sees the Ninevites as worthy of God's wrath, worthy of God's judgment, but he doesn't recognize himself as worthy of judgment and a recipient of God's grace. So he doesn't see, he sees the Ninevites worthy of God's judgment, but not of God's grace. And he sees himself worthy of God's grace, but not of God's judgment. And I think the reason Jonah struggles to do that is the reason he can't reconcile those things is because he would have to admit a couple of things if he was going to do that. And he doesn't want to do that. One is that the Ninevites, like his own people, are created in the image of God, and they are the object of God's affection. He would have to come to that conclusion. And there's another conclusion that he would have to come to, which is probably maybe a little more difficult for him, difficult for many of us. At some level, Jonah would have to put himself on the same plane as the Ninevites, as worthy of judgment, but a recipient of grace. And I think that's part of the reason Jonah is angry and depressed, and part of the reason he wants God to destroy the Ninevites is because he just doesn't want to have to confront himself with that. He doesn't want to deal with that. He just sees things the way he sees them. And to him, he doesn't want to go anywhere else with his thoughts. And remember in week one, I said, let's prime ourselves for this study through the book of Jonah by seeing that we have some Jonah in each of us, and also that we have our own little Nineveh, that place in the world, that ideology that we would rather see God pour out his wrath on than extend his grace. And that's just a reality. And there's something to meditate on and make application in our own life, in that our own little Nineveh is also the object of God's affection. People who hold different ideologies to us, different worldviews, different opinions on social issues, God still loves those people, and they are still made in his image, and he wants to extend to them grace just like he does the people who are his followers. And it would be really healthy for Jonah if he could get his head around that and recognize that, that also God has extended him mercy. He extended him mercy in the storm. He extended him mercy in the belly of the whale. God has been very gracious to Jonah. And he still spoke to Jonah. He still used Jonah, even though Jonah is rebellious and undeserving. God actually pursued Jonah. And what God is doing for the Ninevites is no more than he did for Jonah. But it's hard for Jonah to see that, and sometimes it's hard for us to see that as well. And a lot of Jonah's anger and depression is the result of his own unwillingness to recognize that he needs the same thing the Ninevites do. After all Jonah's been through, he's still angry. He's still arguing with God about this, about who's right. And you know, if you're arguing with God about who's right, it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to find any peace, to find any joy. And if you're arguing with God about who is right, you know, by default, you're wrong. But it's sometimes difficult to recognize that. It's hard. We would say, oh, well, I wouldn't argue with God about who's right. But sometimes we do that. We all have times that we argue with God and struggle with our old self and our new self, what Paul refers to as the old man and the new man in the New Testament, and the constant friction between those two. And we might say, well, I don't argue with God, but do we say things like Jonah does? Do we ever have feelings, or do we ever say things like, oh, why me? You know, what now? Could things possibly get any worse? Stuff like that. That's kind of what Jonah is doing here, and is arguing with God. And we'll see a little more of that as we move through this. But even in that, we know we can know that God knows about us. He knows our heart. He knows how we are, and he still loves us anyway, loves us in spite of the things that are wrong with us. Jonah learns that God isn't going to destroy Nineveh, and he's angry about it. And he's angry because he believes God is doing the wrong thing. And we do the same thing when we get angry at what goes on around us in the world and God doesn't fix it and we think he should. So Jonah, he leaves the city. He's, I think it's funny, you'd have to think, okay, so he's walked a day into the city. Now he's leaving the city. He's angry that the Ninevites have repented. And he has to walk an entire day back out of the city while all of these Ninevites are in sackcloth and crying out to God. And he's grumbling to himself through this process. I think it's kind of ironic that he has to do that. But I have to admit that sometimes there's a lot of things about Jonah that I see in myself as well. Jonah goes out of the city, but he doesn't go back home. He goes and sets himself up to the east of the city. And he sets up outside of the city. He makes a shelter for himself. And the Bible says that he just waits to see what happens. He's still hoping God will destroy this city. Maybe he'll, you know, maybe he's only going to let him off the hook for a few days or something, and then he's going to destroy the city. And the next day, God causes a shade plant to grow up over Jonah, and it provides Jonah with some shade. And Jonah's very happy about this plant. And you can almost hear Jonah say, when this plant grows up, finally, God's starting to treat me the way I deserve. Finally, things are starting to go right for me. And this is a big change in how Jonah's been feeling. Finally, he's like, oh, well, this is great. And he's upset that God is not going to destroy the city, but he finds solace in a plant that gives him some shade. And when you look at that, that's a very vivid picture of self-righteousness and being self-absorbed. You know, he wants this whole city to be destroyed, but he's quite happy that he himself is comfortable here in the shade. But then the very next day at dawn, as we read on, God sends a worm to attack the plant, and the plant withered. And not only did God send a worm, he also sent a hot wind and the sun to beat down on Jonah that day. And we all know Jonah well enough now, I think, to know how he's going to feel about all of this. He's not going to be happy. And he is so distraught by all of his misfortune that he says, it's better for me to die than to live. And he said that earlier, I think in, was it maybe verse 4 or so? And this is the point where we begin to really see the character of God. So far, it's just been God telling Jonah to go to the Ninevites and tell them what he wants them to tell him. But now he has more of a discussion with Jonah. And you can really see God's character in the things that he says to Jonah. And the first thing he does is he asks Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Just kind of a question to bring some things out in Jonah. And Jonah answers by saying, it's right for me to be angry even to death. And that's a pretty strong statement. It's right to be angry even if it kills me, or, you know, you should kill me. I'm tired of this. I just take my life. I want this to be done. God says to Jonah, You're worried about this plant. You're troubled about this plant for which you did nothing. It grew up in one night, lasted a day, and then it was gone. That's all it was. And you're so concerned about this plant. And in the language that God uses to tell Jonah, have this conversation, it's like he's saying to Jonah, your heart was attached to this plant. You cared about this plant, and you've mourned the loss of this plant, albeit for selfish reasons. But in a sense, what God is saying to Jonah is, you love this plant. And he loved it because it made him comfortable. And there's probably a comparison to be made there, between his concern for his personal comfort and his concern for the well-being of an entire city of people. But it goes deeper than that. There's more to it than just that, because God is setting Jonah up to make a point to Jonah. And he's setting this up to show us his character. And that, in the way he does that, really kind of shows us the point of the whole book and why he would send Jonah there in the first place. God says to Jonah, he says, you love this plant. You were attached to it. It only existed for a day. You're concerned about it. You are grieved by the loss of this plant. And it's a simple plant. It was only there for a day. And if you can care so much about this plant, should I be concerned about this great city of Nineveh that has 120,000 people in it? And shouldn't I be concerned even about the animals in this city? If you can be so concerned about a plant that was only there for a day. And that shows us the character of God, in that he is really concerned about people. He really does care about people. He's not distant and detached, which is an easy way to perceive him. He cares about people. He loves us in such a way that he feels it when we suffer. Like if you have kids and they suffer, you feel that when they suffer, because you love them and you really care about them. And there are different times in the Bible where God sees the things people do and he is grieved by those things. He feels grief. He feels sorrow. He feels pain over those things. And when we see things in the world and are grieved by them, when people do that, when we do that, we're often selfish, like Jonah. And we just don't like it. It makes us angry. We really don't care. We just, you know, want to be comfortable, whatever. But when God is grieved about something, it's not because he's selfish. It's because he's compassionate and he genuinely cares about people. And he knows that evil is going to cause us pain, and he feels that pain and that sorrow, and he doesn't want us to experience that. He doesn't share in the evil. He doesn't share in the sin, but he does feel the pain. He does feel the grief. And God is telling Jonah, you care about what happened to the plant, and I care about what happens to Nineveh. So to destroy Nineveh would actually cause God sorrow. And here's one of the places where we see the relationship between God the Father and God the Son in Jesus. When God says to Jonah, should I be concerned about Nineveh with all the people and all of its people? And then he adds to that, he says, who don't know their right hand from their left hand. And these people who have done all these horrific things, God is so gracious that he's saying they don't know one hand from the other. And what he's saying is they're ignorant. They're ignorant. They can't tell one hand from the other. Spiritually speaking, they're ignorant. They're lost. They don't have the slightest idea about what they're really doing. And he's not saying what they're doing is okay at all. That's not it. Or he's also not saying that ignorance is an excuse to do wrong things. That's not it either. God was still going to destroy them in spite of their ignorance. But it is a tremendous amount of mercy and grace and compassion on God's part to see them that way, to say these people just don't really understand what they're doing. They're ignorant. It's not an excuse. It's not okay, but they're ignorant. And how often does God look at people in the world, including you and me, and say, they're ignorant. They don't really understand. And, you know, ignorance combined with our sin nature is a recipe for a whole bunch of trouble. So that might be something to consider when we look at other people and we think, oh, they're so stupid, or why do they act like that? Why do they think like that? Or when something bad happens to someone and we think, well, you had it coming, or, you know, we're happy because something bad happens to someone else. That's not what God does. That's what people do. And maybe it's already come to mind, but can you think of a place where Jesus does the same thing? You see the same character in Jesus, the Son of God. the week before he is crucified, Jesus is outside the city of Jerusalem and, you know, in a situation not unlike Jonah, where Ninevites, the Assyrians had done bad things to Jonah in the past. Jesus knows that they're going to be doing bad things to him in the future. And they're both outside the city, looking on the city. And there's such a, just a dramatic difference in the way they view the city. You know, Jonah's sitting there and he thinks, okay, God should destroy this place. And, you know, that's the way it should be. And Jesus is looking at Jerusalem, knowing, you know, what's going to happen with the mob of people and religious leaders and what's coming with his crucifixion. But he's not concerned with himself as any other person would be. He actually weeps over the city because of their ignorance and not recognizing that God has come to them. And remember on the cross, Jesus said, forgive them, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing, which is very similar to what God says about the Ninevites when he says they don't know their right hand from their left hand. They're ignorant. They don't understand what they're really doing. Jesus is God in the form of a man. And you can see that connection of their character in the way God speaks to Jonah and the way Jesus looks at the city. It's such a great picture of the character of God there. And, you know, it was prophesied that Jesus would be a man of sorrows. And that's true. He was sorrow. The Bible says he was grieved a lot. The Bible says God is grieved a lot. But it's not because he, you know, has emotional problems or he's depressed or he just feels melancholy or that he's ignorant like we are. He has full understanding of our ignorance and the state we are born into. And another comparison between Jonah and Jesus, or maybe Jesus and us, is that Jonah went outside the city in the hopes of seeing it destroyed. And then Jesus went outside the city to be crucified, shed his blood on the cross and die so that we might be saved from our sin, from our ignorance, from not understanding what we're actually doing when we do sin. Not to the degree that God understands it, at least. And you know, it's not that we're so ignorant that we can't understand the concepts of sin and salvation and those things, but I think it's very difficult for us to grasp how much God gave to make salvation possible and the gravity of our sin and the gravity of our ignorance. And in what he has done, seeing how much he really does love the world, like in John 3:16, and how he gave his son to die for us. And I think that's such an astounding thing to think about. And I have one more thing for you to think about today as we begin to wrap this up. We know the story of Jonah. We've been through the whole book now. We've read it. You've been going through a study. We've been reading the book. We've heard Jonah have this final conversation with God and what's going on there. And we know that when God initially called Jonah, Jonah ran away in disobedience, and we have seen how God used difficult circumstances and the storm and in the belly of the great fish to bring Jonah around to a place of obedience. Even though Jonah's attitude towards the Ninevites didn't really change, he did go into the city. He did proclaim that God was going to destroy it in 40 days. The Ninevites repented, from the king all the way down to the animals. Everybody was fasting. Everybody was in sackcloth, even the animals. And Jonah goes outside the city, sets up a little camp, and he's still angry. And God uses a shade plant to teach Jonah that he cares about the Ninevites. He says, Jonah, you know, you care so much about this plant. Why shouldn't I care about these Ninevites? And the last verse, verse 11, we'll read it, says, should I not therefore be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? And that's where the story ends. And it's almost like it just falls off a cliff right there, like some pages got lost or something. It's just about as abrupt as it could be, because there's no answer to that question. We don't know what happens next. We don't know where Jonah goes after this. We don't know if he died there. We just don't know. You know, maybe nothing happened. Maybe Jonah is the guy who wrote the book and he didn't write anything else down for who knows what reason. But at the same time, I also think this is by design, and God can use that abrupt ending to teach us something. And I think he leaves that very abrupt ending to leave us to think about what might happen next. You know, how would you end the story if you were going to write it out and finish it? If you had to write an ending to the story, what would the ending be? And here's what I want you to think about this week. Remember there's that little bit of Jonah in all of us that we've talked about a few times throughout this series. And we've all got our own little Nineveh that we deal with. We've talked about that a few times as well, that little spot, that ideology, whatever it might be, that we just would like to see God call down fire on that instead of extending it grace. And knowing what we know now, and all the things that we've talked about through this, the things we've read, how God has shown Jonah mercy, how he's worked in his life, how Jonah's attitude about the Ninevites never really changed much. And then there's the repentance of the Ninevites as well. What I want you to do this week is put yourself and your Nineveh in the book of Jonah and then finish the story. Think about that. How would you want to see that story finished? Knowing what you know now, how does the story end for you and your Nineveh? Something to think about and consider. How do you want it to end? How does God want it to end? And do those things actually line up with each other? And that's something to think about, considering how things went for Jonah when his will didn't line up with God's will, and when his idea of what is good didn't line up with what God says is good. And I want you to think about this week. Give that some thought. You could even take the time to write it down if you wanted to. Of course, you wouldn't have to show it to anybody, but you could write it down if you wanted to and think about it, meditate on it, pray about it. And I do hope that you've found this helpful so far. And we'll talk some more about Jonah again next week and next time we get together. And I will certainly look forward to speaking with you then. Have a great week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. Let me know what you think in the comments. Please consider subscribing and sharing this with someone who might find it helpful.
Oh, that's good.